Before we get started today, I just kind of wanted to do a little what we would call family talk. So I had to talk to our church family here. If you're new here today, or you've just been visiting, you can be on this too. But last Sunday, we received some very, very sad news that our brother in the Lord, Simon Forsyth, had passed away. He was over in Spain. He was doing a spiritual pilgrimage. And from what we understand, he told his wife, Melanie, he has never felt that close to God before in his life. And unfortunately, though, he passed away while he was over there. So what we do know is that there was no foul play, and there was no damage to his bicycle, so there wasn't any kind of an accident or anything of that nature. But we're still a little unclear if he was riding his bicycle or if he, you know, just passed away in his sleep or something. But what we do know is this, is that God takes care of us. Amen? And I am so looking forward to, and I know I'm going to be in a line, but of giving Simon a hug when we see him in heaven. Because he heard those words that so many of us long to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Simon ran a great race, and when he ran hard, and he ran strong. And, you know, there's a lot of questions like, why did this happen? You know, what in the world? What are we going to do? Well, there's a couple of things that help me out. First of all, God, in his infinite wisdom, knows all of the answers. And we don't always need to know the answers, but we do need to trust that God has everything taken care of for us. Amen? And the verse that really helped me out a lot in all of this, because there's a question, you know, what's going to happen to Life Vineyard? What's going to happen to, well, Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Simon left a very big footprint on this earth. And I believe by praying Romans 8:28 and standing firm on that verse, that there is going to be a ripple effect of the ministry that he started, the work that he started, and God's not done with that. Amen? And so what we can do is, what can we do? What can we do to help them out? Well, Melanie has a great support system. Thank goodness for that. But we can pray for them. The other thing we can do is somebody put up a GoFundMe page, and they've exceeded their limit, but please, if you're wondering what you can do, go to that GoFundMe page. Katie, if you can share that on our Vineyard Community Facebook page, you can find that there. And I would just encourage you to just give a little something to help the family, you know, and just to show your support. And then the best thing that we can do, too, is just pray. And I feel good that God will see a good work from all of this. So, but before we do pray, we're going to pray as a church for them and everything. But, you know, Simon was a visionary, and Simon didn't do anything small. Everything he did was big. Everything. And there was a video that was up. I've watched it probably over 100 times. I've laughed. I've cried. I've laughed and cried. It is classic Simon. He was a youth pastor here at this church. He moved over here from Australia, he and Melanie, in 2002. And I think this video was done in somewhere like 05 or 06, but it was a Youth Vision Sunday, and he decked out this entire sanctuary to look like an airplane. He had the vomit bags on every seat. He had everything. He had the runways. He had the lights. The girls were dressed up as stewards. But the sermon that he preached that day was about how to get through the turbulence in life. And I just want to show a clip from that video, and I hope that you'll laugh with me here, but can we roll that video?
Okay, pilot Dave, we're clear for takeoff. Park and brake.
Okay, check.
Park and brake light.
On.
Thrust levels.
Check.
Flaps.
On.
FMS.
Left.
Aviation masters.
Activated.
Laser packs.
Forward.
Ice ace.
Iced.
Machine guns.
On.
Hydraulic pumps.
Two.
Clearance for taxi.
Set.
Parking brake.
We're forward.
Now we're moving.
We're ready. This this is your pilot. We're hoping you're ready for a great flight. Thank you for flying with Wildlife Airlines. We're expecting a little turbulence up ahead. Please be buckled in your seatbelts. Going into some serious clouds. Here we go. Hold on. The plane should be all right.
Have I ever told you I'm scared of flying?
Looks like we're having a little turbulence right now, but everything's okay. Looks like, excuse me. One of our wings just broke off. Hold on. We can make it with one wing. When I flew over the English Channel, we flew with one wing.
Thy kingdom come.
Co-pilot, can you take over for a minute? I've got an itch in my nose.
All right.
Thank you, Simon, for everything that you gave us here while you're here on this earth. So let's just pray. Lord God, I just thank you, Jesus, that you know way more than we do. And no matter what questions we have, you do have the answers. You have the answers at the right time. And I just want to lift up Melanie, Zach, Toby, and Evie to you, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, and I know that you will take care of them. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the life that you have to offer. I thank you for the support that is around us when we have a family of believers. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what we are about to see take place because of what Simon started here on this earth. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Simon, we make you proud. We dedicate this service and this sermon to you. So today we are continuing our sermon series on Jesus the Storyteller. And we're looking at some of the stories that Jesus told in order to get his message out to the people. You know, he used all kinds of analogies. We also know these as parables. And he told stories that we could relate to, especially the people of his time, because he told stories that there was a lot of people that used as their livelihood, like farming and fishing. What was the other one? Shepherding. Those were common occupations of his time. And he also told stories about relationships and father-son relationships, family relationships, and things of that nature. And he told them in a way that everybody could relate. And last week we talked about a story that Jesus told about a father and his two sons. The father represented God, that the two sons represented two types of people, two different people groups. And the vineyard that the father wanted his sons to go work in was mankind. If you didn't get a chance or you weren't here last week, go to our website, vineyard05.com. You can watch the sermon. You can download our app at Vineyard Community Church and get yourself caught up on that. But today we're going to talk about a story that Jesus told that has to do with the reckless love of God. Because it's so out of the norm. God's love for us is so not the way we would think somebody would love another person. And so, but here's the thing. It is the very character of God. Jesus, I mean, we must never forget this. Jesus came to this earth. He was the Son of God, but he came to this earth to represent God to mankind. And this story he's about to tell speaks of the very heart of God, his very nature, his very character. And so, in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1, here's what it says. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them. I think Jesus just loved telling stories because he knew it would just get the point across. Here's what he says. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you, that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. First of all, look at how this story starts out. Luke wrote this, all right? Luke was a doctor. Luke was really good with history, and he I think his documentation is about as close as we're going to get. But it says that, so the thing is, Luke, I guess what I'm trying to say is Luke was there. Sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. Even tax collectors. You know, back then, tax collectors, they robbed people. They were lowlifes. But sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. So I have to wonder, if Jesus were to come to this earth today, would we recognize him? Would he come in here to sit and listen to a sermon? To be a part of us? Or would he be out in the drug dens, in the crack houses, in the alleyways where the prostitutes are, in the bars, preaching the word of God, things of the kingdom of God? Would we say, hey, there's something going on with this man? Or would we say, what is he doing with those people? Because the Jewish people, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were the religious leaders. They were God's chosen people. They were the ones who God said, you will be preaching my word to mankind to get them to understand the love that I have for them. But they became so pious and so high and mighty that they forgot what the love of God was. And when their awaited Messiah, Jesus, came to the earth, they didn't recognize him because he was hanging out with people they would never have anything to do with. And they complained about that. You see, first of all, Jesus was a man who knew no sin. He came to this earth to represent God to the people, but he did not compromise who he was. He stayed true to who he was as the Son of God. He was holy, he was righteous, and he was genuine. Now, the religious leaders, they were holy and they were righteous too. But they weren't so genuine. They were lacking something. They were lacking a care and love for the people. You've heard the saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. This was the difference between Jesus and the religious leaders. The religious leaders acted like they cared, but they did not care for the people. Therefore, the people could not relate to God. They thought that God was high and mighty, out of touch, up there in the sky somewhere. Because the people who were supposed to represent him, that's how they acted. So the people didn't want anything to do with that. Jesus came to this earth to share the love of God with mankind, and he proved it by letting them see that, experience that, feel that, witness that, healings, miracles, love, the unconditional love. Jesus loved to hang out with people. And he didn't compromise who he was. In other words, he did not start acting like the people he was hanging out with. I think sometimes we get that part wrong. We want people, our friends and our family and our coworkers and such that don't know Jesus to experience the same love of God that we have experienced. And so we want to tell them and hang out with them and we want to be a part of what they're doing, but then we start acting like them as well. We start drinking and we go to places we shouldn't go and we cuss and we do things we shouldn't do, and we cannot compromise who we are in Christ. There's nothing wrong with hanging out with people who are not believers. Absolutely nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, we should be. But there's also nothing wrong with saying, no, that's not for me. No, I'll just have a water. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what it does. If you are down to earth and you love them the way Jesus loves them, the way Jesus loves us, people are going to respect that. They will respect your faith more. All right, let's get back to the sermon. It's my little soapbox, but. So Jesus knows that the religious leaders are judging him, right? They're like, who is this man? Look who he's hanging out with. Who is he? And so basically, I think he's like, it's not recorded in the scriptures, just me talking, but he's like, you think you know the love of God? You think you know the love of God? Well, you don't. Let me tell you a little story about how reckless, how crazy, how irrational God's love is for people. Let me tell you this little story. And he begins by telling a story that they could relate to. Shepherding was a main occupation in Israel. So he says, you know, he tells a story about a shepherd who has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray. He says, which of you, if you had 100 sheep, would leave your 99 to go get that one dumb sheep that wandered off? Which of you would do that? Because they wouldn't. That's irrational. That's crazy talk. You could, a shepherd could lose his entire livelihood if he said, you just stay right here and I'll be right back. There were animals, there were wolves, there were thieves who would come and seek and destroy those sheep, steal them, whatever. Because he was off over here chasing that one, the one that ran away. But that's exactly Jesus' point in this story. God's love doesn't make sense to us. God's love is crazy. It's reckless. It's irrational. And here's the other thing. The lost sheep is out there wandering around where it's dark. It's dangerous. It's scary. It's lonely. It's getting tired. It's in the exact place where the enemy seeks to kill and destroy. That's what Jesus was trying to say here. Jesus knows how much harm is out there and how vulnerable people can be when they're out from under the protection of God. Jesus knows. It's important to him. Because the thing is, the devil is out there scheming to draw us away from that love that God has for us. He'll do anything he can to keep us from staying or getting under the umbrella of God's protection. If anybody knows that more than anybody, it's Jesus. And the enemy will do all that he can to woo us out from under God's protection. It doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen with one decision. It's slowly. And the next thing you know, you're wondering, how did I get in this mess? Or it's a lifetime of decisions and lifestyles that we choose. Maybe we haven't strayed from the faith. Maybe we haven't even come under the umbrella of God's protection yet. But here's something else. God's love for us is so persistent that he will go after us with a passion. But he will not make us love him. He will not force his love on us or make us love him. He's given us free will. He's given us a choice. And that's why when we're going this way and we turn around and say, Jesus, I need you. Oh, my life is a mess. Golly. That's why we experience the love that we experience, because it's a choice that we make. As much as he wants us all into his kingdom, he offers us the opportunity to make that choice. He patiently waits for us while he's chasing after us, and we finally get his attention. Some of us right here in this room, the Holy Spirit has been chasing you. Jesus has been chasing you. And he's like, they're in church. They're in church today. Yes. Today's the day. Jesus loves people. He has so much to offer us. And this story here illustrates the great lengths that he is willing to go for each person to enter into his kingdom. And you know, the other thing too is, Jesus is not of the thought that, well, they'll get this figured out once and for all. Here we go again. Gabriel, would you, somebody get his attention, her attention. No. Jesus chases after us. He goes after that lost one. He says, you stay right here, I'll be back. It doesn't make sense to leave the entire flock of sheep here. Jesus will climb over mountains. He'll get down into the valleys. He'll get dirty. He'll keep chasing us. He'll do whatever he has to do and go through whatever he has to go through in order to get our attention so that he can welcome us into his kingdom and then help us become the people he created us to be in the first place. He gives us those desires of our hearts. He gives us a new heart, a new life, a new lease on life too for some of us. Far too often, we see somebody in a situation like this and we say, oh, they'll figure it out. They'll learn their lesson. They'll, you know, just I got things to do. No. No, we have to go after them. Listen, what you're doing is, I know, but... You know, and last week we talked about working in the vineyard. You know, the vineyard was mankind, and God wants believers. God wants us, people who have put their faith in him, to be out there, you know, drawing people into the kingdom. And I said something like, you know, it can be intimidating. You know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. It can be intimidating, and you know, and that's okay. But I want to make it just a little bit more easy, because what I said was, you know, I start with my story. I have so many stories that God has done for me. You know, which, you know, God is so good. But here's a little easier, something that makes it even easier. Just invite them to church. Just invite them to church. Use I'm going to plug the Trans-Siberian. Use a big event here, the Trans-Siberian tribute we do. We will tell the gospel message during that show. Pastor Dave will have a short message. We plan on people who don't know Jesus on being here. That's why we do events like that. All you got to do, take a stack of cards out there in the foyer and just lay them in the workplace. Pass them out to people. Jesus knows more than anybody the repercussions of not being in his kingdom. It's dark. It's lonely. It's doing life in your own strength. It's figuring life out on your own. It's not having a good support system. You know, tragedy, so sad, you know, with Simon passing, but there is a church family. We got family we can gather around. It's unconditional love. Everything outside of the kingdom of God is conditional. It's based on your surroundings. I'm speaking from experience here. I know this. And if we're not careful, it is an eternity separated from the love of God, separated from God's presence. Think of some of the worst things that have gone on around in your lifetime. Think of some of the worst. And let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit is still here holding everything together on this earth. But there will be a time when he's gone. So you think, well, it's dark and lonely now. Oh, without the presence of God, we don't even understand. But Jesus does. And that's why he illustrates this story. Our minds can't comprehend the fullness of that darkness. But then, look what the shepherd does when he finds the sheep. He rejoices. He puts that sheep on his shoulder and he runs home and he tells his neighbors and his friends. He says, look, the sheep that was lost, I have now found it. I found the lost sheep. Listen, you're tired. Get up. Let me carry you home. I, he doesn't scold the sheep. How many here do have dogs, pets, dogs? How many of you have had to chase your dog because it ran out of the yard and down the street? Again, experience, all right? Our dog's a little older now and wiser. I think 3 times I had to go to the pound downtown to get her. And she, when she was younger, she was I called her a runner. She was a runner, you know? And the closer I got to her, she'd go running even more, right? And I'm like, oh, I know you're making me look stupid, and I think you're doing it on purpose. But then I caught on. I knew she liked to go for rides, so I'd get in the car and I'm like, hey, let's go for a ride. Come on. Now we're going home. Right? I'd put her on a leash and go, and I wanted the neighbors to hear me scold her because you made me look really dumb in front of the neighborhood. Now get in there, you know? Get on home. I know, Kimball, my wife is always like, what are you doing? Neighbors, you know. Isn't that what we would do if we had to chase a dumb animal? You know, and myself included here, Jesus uses sheep to describe human beings. They're not the wisest animal out there. Think of some of the decisions you've made. I don't even need to go down into my memory vault. Sometimes we don't make wise decisions, but Jesus is willing to chase after us. He gets dirty. He goes through all the muck that we go through, and he's like, come on, man. I'm right behind you. I'm with you, but I can't do anything until you turn around and say, help me. Amen? But then what he does is he takes that sheep, he puts it on his shoulder. Some of us, he's like, come on. Rob Gibson up there, he's a fireman. How many firemen do we have? He just carries on his shoulder and he doesn't get tired and he rejoices. He says, I found my lost sheep. I found a person who was lost and now they're found and they're entering into the kingdom of God. My goodness, that is so good. We don't realize how good it is until we experience the goodness of God and the unconditional love that he has to offer. Because once we come into his kingdom, guess what? Life isn't perfect and we're going to mess up. And you know what Jesus does? He says, just turn around and come here. Let me help you out with this. I love do-overs and I'm fine with it. Come on. And he helps us through life. And then to even drive the point home, look at how he ends the story. He says that all of heaven rejoices over one person who puts their faith in Jesus. All of heaven. After this story, he talks about a lost coin, and then he talks about a son who goes astray. All three of these stories about somebody who was lost and now is found, he ends it by saying, all of heaven rejoices. All the angels in heaven rejoice over one person. Now, I was thinking last night when I was reviewing this that Saturday evening and Sunday mornings in America is church time. Everybody's at church, right? Guess what also is happening? People are giving their lives to Jesus for the first time. Party time. The angels are like, are we ready? Are we ready? Who's coming into the kingdom today? And all of heaven is rejoicing over one person. I don't know about you, but that is a kingdom that I want to be a part of. And that is a kingdom that I want to spend my eternity in. Amen? Whew. I love Jesus, and I love everything he does for me and my wife and my family, and seeing him move in this church with you guys. You know, I oversee the worship department. I love nothing more than to see people use the gifts and talents that God has given them. Has given them, and to watch them play out. And if me, just a mere mortal human being, loves that, what do you think Jesus loves? He's got the biggest smile on his face when he sees us doing things for him in his kingdom, even when he sees us saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. And I know right now there's some people in this room, your heart's fluttering, and maybe your palms are getting a little sweaty, and maybe you're feeling nervous. That's not the coffee. That's not this atmosphere. That's the Holy Spirit. That is Jesus saying, it's time. Enter into the kingdom. And we'll take some time here in a little bit. We'll pray for that. And I want to we'll set aside some time for that. But in closing, you know, we live in a fast-paced, I got to get mine before you get yours world, right? And if we're not careful, we will completely miss out on the love that God has for us. We'll miss out on it because we're too focused on everything we're doing in life. Look around you. All over, we are surrounded by people who want nothing more than to be accepted in life, who want nothing more than a lasting relationship, a loving friendship. Our communication these days has been whittled down to texting and social media, right? Our self-worth and self-esteem is built up over how many likes will I get out of this one? Ooh, 52 likes, 82 hearts, and one happy face. That's not enough. Let me try it from this angle. That's superficial. The love that Jesus has for us is deep to the core. It speaks to our spirits. God's love is the only love that can fulfill all those needs that we are wanting to have fulfilled. It'll give us a reason to exist on this earth, and that inner emptiness will be satisfied. And it is the very love that leads to a changed life, that leads to us becoming the person that we were created to be. A love that draws us into the relationship of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can carry us through the tough times like he does. Only Jesus has the patience with each one of us like he does. And only Jesus understands the encouragement that each one of us needs to get through another day. And last and best of all, only Jesus knows how to celebrate with us that fulfills all of those needs that we so desperately want fulfilled. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you so much. I thank you so much for the people who are feeling your presence right now for the first time. You know, we're going to enter into a time, we're going to sing some songs here, and I just pray that whatever's on your heart, pour it out to God. Let him minister to you. Let him fulfill those needs. And if you've never done that before, just enjoy what God has for you. I thank you, Jesus, that your love for us is reckless and irrational and crazy talk. Because without it, a lot of us in this room, we wouldn't be here. Because you were willing to chase after us through all the darkness that we were traveling. And you got our attention. We turned around, we said, I need help. And I thank you for that, God. I give you all the praise for that, Lord Jesus. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right, so let's end the service with a blessing here. Also, Thanksgiving's coming up. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We've got family we're going to be around. Maybe we're not so thankful for that, but enjoy it. Amen. Enjoy it. Enjoy your family. All right? Lift up your hands with me, everybody. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. Also, if you're interested in that Next Step class, we have an area back there. You can go let them know you want to take that class next Sunday at 6 p.m.